I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you are?
All right, everybody, another day, another dollar, another one of my favorite episodes. What if it did work? Yeah, I'm biased. It's my own podcast, and I'm honored to have a guest that I met all the way in the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado, Jessica Summers. She's a wife, mother to fashion designer, boutique owner. Complications with her second pregnancy, though, ended up getting sick. And was in and out of hospital for years. Physical health issues, unfortunately, turned into mental health issues. And then took a downward spiral into emotional and spiritual illness. And she was prescribed prescription drugs that got her addicted. And from being a pill addict to street drugs. She was in and out of the hospital. She had a 17-day psych hospital stay when her husband gave her separation papers 3 days after getting out. On the run for years, all the way from homeless, with nobody believed a word she said. Her husband turned her whole family onto her. Still addicted, trying to get help for her physical health and mental health while going in and out of hospitals. After major work and transformation, she coaches others that are ready to create a life that they want on their own terms, to heal and take accountability for themselves on becoming, quote unquote, the whole person that they were created to be. Just like what I believe, we were all meant for so much more. So how's it going, Jessica?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You feeling better? Because I know last time you were like super under the weather there.
Yeah, I joked that I had the bubonic plague for a while there, but I'm feeling much better. Thank you for asking. I think just still, you know, with my health issues that I had before, I'm at the end of it now. I've changed the way I go about everything, my eating and going after, you know, the undiagnosed kind of stuff and medication and kind of taking my health into my own hands. And so I'm doing a cellular cleanse. And so sometimes when you go deep, you know, it gets ugly before it gets good. But I'm on the upward swing now. And long story short, I'm good. Thank you. Well,
just reading the bio, though, it's all about the mind, body, spirit, what we put into our body. I mean, reading, you became addicted to pills and pharmaceuticals. Yes. I mean, literally, to me, fault, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, and I fault doctors because the doctor needs to write scripts for his buddy that dropped off a meal for him or took him to a ball game. But to me, it's literally poison. I mean, how can that be the cure for anything when we watch TV or we listen to a radio and the majority of the spot is, you know, this may cause. And it's like, well, right. Sometimes all those adverse reactions are way worse than, you know, the actual problem.
For sure. And we're just now kind of talking about it and the severity and the extremes that once you start this, and now we have some education so you can inform yourself and move forward. When I went through it, nobody through that entire, and I'm talking years, nobody ever mentioned addiction to me, ever. Nobody talked about the side effects that I was having. I just thought more medication from the side effects. I mean, it's kind of what you were saying. So it was just a Band-Aid on top of a Band-Aid until it's out of your control.
Now, addiction is not a choice. When you were going through this, though, also assuming it was opioids, like Oxy, yeah. That you're,
yeah, yeah.
You and I are about the same age. I might be a little older, but I remember the pandemic. Originally, though, they made it seem like it was just drug addicts that
right.
creating this problem throughout all of America. I mean, crime went up. People were like looting, friggin' pharmacies. They were doing crimes left and right. And I know there's a new documentary on Netflix about it, which was pretty like watching it. I loved it because I remembered it, put me back into then. I never had an addiction. Wasn't much of a pill guy anyways. But just to see that it was just normal people that got right. addicted because Big Pharma said, it's not that bad. These opioids, instead of people that are terminally ill, let's just give it for any random injury.
Yeah. And I had, you know, ongoing. So after my pregnancy, they left placenta behind and I had one infection after another. I mean, I could move. My stomach was, you know, I was bent over in pain and that's where it started. And again, no one ever told me that your body becomes habituated, you know, and all of a sudden the pills don't work like they did before. And then you start taking more and more. Why should you question it? I didn't ask to become addicted. I went to my doctor because I was in pain, right? I had to learn the hard way. And it's just like any other drug, right? It doesn't matter. It's from your doctor or it's from the guy on the street. It's the same thing. It's Vicodin, it's Oxy, it's fentanyl, it's heroin, it's all of the above, right? And it's your neighbor, it's your grandma, it's your sister, it's anybody and everybody, right? There's a difference between making choices, making some not so good choices, and when it's no longer your choice, called addiction.
We're also, though, trained, you were there, that drugs, bad drugs, was only like heroin, cocaine, but pills, popping pills. The big just say no. Then years later, we find out that Nancy Reagan was, First Lady Reagan was popping pills, like if it was a Pez dispenser. But that old, that mindset, which is still around for boomers and older, is that's fine. Oxys are fine. You know, opioids in prescription form is completely fine, but not from the drug dealer. That's bad. And it's from the same, it's the same thing that you're putting into your body.
The same thing. Yeah, don't get me started on pharmaceuticals and how corrupt and that I won't name pharmaceutical companies, but I know that image that they try to portray that everything's fine. It's just the junkies, those people, right? That kind of neighborhood with those kind of people are doing these bad things. And they were creating something that really didn't exist. It's anybody and everybody, right? You could break your arm, prescription drugs. And like I say, addiction is not a choice.
Oh, no, no. We also, society too, we always love to place judgment on other right. people until it hits home. Right. And then we're like, well, no, why? It's just the way things are going. So you went through a bad pregnancy. But before this, though, everything was fine. The typical, you were happily married. Normal.
Right. Doing my thing. You know, I never in a million years thought that I would be, you know, married with children, a fashion designer. I mean, I thought you had to be some, you know, you had to live in Paris, right? Milan, like couldn't me a fashion designer, but I, you know, not that I was ever that big, but I never dreamed that I would be in the position that I was in. So, and on the outside, it looked like I was just complaining, right? Because I had it all, right? I was living the dream that I never thought I would have. So that was another thing too, that if you don't look sick, you don't have an eyeball hanging out of your head, then take what your doctor prescribes you. And if there's still a problem, then it's you and you're complaining there's something wrong with you. That's where the emotional and the mental part comes into this whole pill thing. You know what I mean?
It's funny how, I mean, just things go in the cycles because yeah. for a while we just forgotten about it all these years. And then we need Netflix because, you know, everybody, instead of dreaming, they're more into streaming. Now we're like, everybody's downloading Painkiller and like, oh my gosh. It's like, yeah, that happened not too long ago. And that was literally throughout America. And the one thing though, I mean, I don't want to be a spoiler. Well, I'm sure everybody by the time this airs would have watched it. Is I love the fact it did not have the Hollywood ending, because reality is not Hollywood. The people die, families break. That was a real epidemic. I mean, people think Corona was, but if they ever look at it or just Google the numbers of the amount of people that it affected. It really destroyed lives. It destroyed families. So you went down this.
And it still is.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course.
I mean, fentanyl now is, I can't even wrap my head around it. That is a whole new epidemic on top of what already existed.
Well, everything comes in cycles. There'll be something after that. And after that, people are just addicted to vices. People a lot of times feel like it won't happen to me.
Right.
Or they, it's mainly that. Just, that's someone else. Someone else will become, someone else will become homeless. Someone else will die for it. That's not going to happen to me. That's the same thing that everybody says until lo and behold, they're knee deep
in
their issues.
Right. And I had to learn all these things the hard way myself, because I had never been addicted to drugs. So and this is where the emotional and the mental health comes in, is I couldn't understand why I couldn't stop. But then I was in pain and I needed them, but I knew that I was addicted at the same time. And I knew that it was controlling me, the whole me, right? So it is a very complicated, it's not black and white anyway. And the stigma, not only your family and friends and just society at large, but the own image you have of yourself of, well, if you don't want to be doing this, then why are you? And again, I had to learn about what addiction was. I had to learn about the brain. And I also, after being told what was wrong with me, I tried fixing what other people told me what was wrong with me, and then decided to do my own investigation on who I really was, needed to be fixed, and what was somebody else's opinion. And, I dug in there about childhood trauma that I didn't even really know existed. And that also had a lot to do with my own stigma and black and white thinking, just how a lot of other people see this issue.
But also what most people don't realize is it's the same thing with suicide. A lot of times it's just trying to numb the pain. People, whether it's psychological or physical pain, we want to tune out. We want to run away from pain. And that's point blank where it all stems from. It's not like the person killed themselves because they just wanted to piss people off. That was the ultimate, I need to get away from this pain. When it comes to an addiction, I'm sure, just like everybody else, you weren't like, oh, I just want the attention. I'm doing this to piss
people off. To completely ruin my life. It sounds like a great idea.
But that's what everybody's, how inconsiderate. It's like,
right.
You got that from family. Oh my gosh, Jessica, you are so inconsiderate.
Yep.
I mean, that's what you had for your goals that year, was to get addicted, have to be institutionalized for like 17 days. I mean, these were all on your short-term goals for the year, right?
Right. I went down my checklist.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that, I mean, think about that too. That's mind-boggling that kind of thinking isn't even questioned, because we still think that way. It's like, what has to happen to society at large for you to wake up and go, maybe I should question these things, right? Uh-huh. This doesn't make sense. You know, that whole, like, that saying about doing the same thing over and over again.
Of course. Yeah, that's insanity.
Right. However, does society even see that that's exactly what the majority is doing? We keep doing the same thing and don't even question it. But it's everybody else. It's everybody else's fault.
Exactly. That's what's funny if you think about it. Because even little things like, okay, besides addiction, how many people say, okay, I'm going to stop using social media as much. I'm going to stop watching Netflix. I'm going to stop streaming. And I'm going to have a more productive life. They say that I'm going to start today. And it's the same thing. And they go through the same pattern over and over. And then we always justify, we always run towards an excuse. Well, this is the reason why I'm watching. It's not for me. The reason why I have to stream 5 hours a day is because I'm going to have to catch up, because I'm going to need to talk to, it's not for me. It's for my friends. I want to be able to talk to them. And it's like, okay, Mother Teresa, you're doing it for someone else.
Yeah. Right. And that just shows though, as well, it's like, that mentality is the same kind of mentality and thinking. Those are the people that get addicted. You're already addicted. right? Exactly. And you're just like anybody else. You need that dopamine or that serotonin rush. Like you're always searching for something to make you feel better than you are right now, but you're seeking outside of yourself.
Exactly. Jessica, now it says we're committed for 17 days. You got out, you got served. But before your addiction, was there any marital problems or was your ex-husband just didn't believe in the sickness and health part?
I mean, that's what our problems were, I guess, is we didn't have problems other than, you know, big gigantic elephant in the room, right? That I looked okay on the outside. You have everything. I give you everything. What is your problem? You know, again, it's like if you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you medication to fix whatever is ailing you, what are you still complaining about? Like we could never get past that. And that seems to be a reoccurring conversation with a lot of people. They can't get past that. Maybe there's something outside of that doctor's reach. Maybe the medication is not for you. Maybe the medication is creating more issues than to begin with. I mean, there's so many variables, but we're so dead set on go to the doctor, the doctor gives you something or a diagnosis and you're fine. But what happens when you're not? And that's where the mental health comes in, because then I started questioning myself, you know, in my own head. I'm like, wow, I am a terrible human being. Not only am I creating my own illness, but I'm complaining about it. I'm not doing what I'm being told. It must be me because I'm still sick. Do you see like how warped that is and how far from the truth it was? But there goes the downward spiral.
Now, when he served you, was he like, hey, you know what? I can't give you anymore. This is all you. I mean, my divorce had nothing to do with it. You know, it was just 20 years of fighting. So, you know, that's why did he accept responsibility and go, I need to let you go because it's me? Or did he ever really give you a reason?
That he had to protect the children from me. So that was another, you know, I was begging for help. And then to get that blow, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really am a terrible human being. You have to protect the children from me.
Well, what's even crazier, though, is when somebody is in that much pain, all you're doing is really throwing fuel to the fire, because then you're even in more pain that you get served, more pain that the man that you're married to says you're not fit for your own children. So, I mean, if anything, that's like, here, I want you to run towards more drugs. I want you to get your next fix. Instead of, you know, just that way of thinking, the logical thinking would be like, you know, hey, let's get you help. You've hit rock. I mean, clearly, I don't think you were in the hospital for 17 days because you just wanted to get away. Like that Southwest commercial said, you just didn't want to vacation for 17 days.
I could tell you horrifying stories about that. And I don't even know how I made it out of that, because that was another thing, is my now ex had told the doctors that I was telling friends that I was bipolar, which I didn't know anything about that. I don't know what bipolar is at that time. Why on earth would I say anything like that? But he had refused to hear me from the beginning that I was sick, that I guess he thought he was helping me out. So the reason I was in the hospital for 17 days and then had repercussions that went on for years is because they put me on antipsychotics, which if you're not bipolar and you don't need antipsychotics, spiritual warfare is the first thing that comes to mind. It was horrific. And again, I was having reactions, not only mentally from that, but physically. I'm still dealing with my physical ails. So I was getting transported by ambulance from the mental institution to the hospital and then back again. I mean, years of this, I mean, it was a complete mess because nobody heard me or would listen to me and was kind of making up their own story to, I don't know, better fit their own egos.
Mm-hmm. All these years later, did he ever apologize and go tell you, Jessica, I apologize. I should have been more. I could have done more. Or
no, nope.
Till this
he
day,
he said, I never thought you were going to make it.
Oh, wow. Good thing he doesn't work for Hallmark, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I even told him, I forgive you. And he looked at me like I was completely out of my mind. But that was for me. I had to do that for me.
Of course. See, you could tell you and I, you have to have personal development. You have to do the work to understand that. Because so many times, did you told this person that you forgive them? But why? But what? Because, you know, it's like you're speaking a different language. And it's like, you never do it for the other person. You do it for them. You know, clearly, since he's such a man, a few words just went over his head. He probably felt like, well, maybe I'm the one that needs to forgive you one day when I get divorce.
Yeah, that'll never happen, because in his eyes, I am a, you know, terrible human being, terrible mother, you know, crazed maniac, drug addict. Yeah, and I don't matter. You know, there was a time where he just decided, like, okay, this is too much for me. You no longer matter, and you are out of my life. Simple as that.
Yeah, so much said that to his part. So, but how about your relationship with your children? They realized that you weren't, this wasn't mommy just looking for attention. This isn't, especially nowadays with all the resources, we realize that, oh shit, you know, let's get off the pedestal of judging all these people. Because believe it or not, most people were only like the elbow tennis away from drug addiction.
Right.
A lot of us were a stub toe away, or, you know, minor aches, because a lot of times, literally, that's what it was instead of, this is only to be given to somebody that's on the verge of hospice, literally went from that, because highly addictive, to all of a sudden, hey, are you having, it was a cure all growing up, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s. Hey, by the way, you know, do you need that? And they're advertising everywhere. I live in South Florida, but Canadians would literally drive down like in these tour buses to get their oxy fix, because, you know, easy scripts. There was pill mills galore. And that's why, you know, we all need to step aside and be like, wow, I am lucky. It's like that other woman that gave birth at the same time as you, that didn't have any complications. Congratulations. You weren't given opioids. That's the way to look at it. So I'm
right.
Your children do see that.
I am so blessed. I have the best relationship with my girls. Yeah, I don't even know what to say other than I am so blessed. But I have taken accountability for myself, what I've done past, present, and future. I talk openly and honestly with my children, and that makes them better people too. Like, I tell them, you do something, you own it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is huge. And I hope that, you know, continues with them in, you know, the rest of their lives. You know, it's like, what makes you think, and I think that this is a question we need to ask all people, like, what makes you think you're a good person? Like, are you really doing what you say you're doing? Because I see it now after my experience, I'm able to kind of stand back and watch people say one thing and do the complete opposite. They are so out of touch with who they really are, you know, because nobody talks about the truth. Nobody wants to face their own demons. No one wants to say, okay, maybe my normal way of growing up wasn't so normal. Whatever. You know, there's so much attached to that. It's take accountability for who you are and be your best self. How are you going to do that? By not pointing the finger at everybody else.
But a lot of times too, their definition of why they're a good person is because they attended. Actions speak louder than words, but they think by attending a mass for an hour a week, by going to church service, by going to temple, by going to whatever their belief is, that the 1 hour a week that they can judge other people, they can look down upon other people, they can belittle, they can do bad things, and everything's absolved because they attended, which should be the other way around. Because if you're an amazing person, if you're an altruistic person, if you're a person that helps others when they're down, and you come from a place of non-judgment, I think God, Jesus, whatever anybody believes in, would want that person to be better than, you know, the just like in all those mafia movies, they all go to mass, but then they continue killing on Monday through Saturday. And right, that's the way how people do live their lives. And that's why you brought up a very valid question, because most people, a lot of people would say that. What makes you a good person? Well, I go to such and such church.
Right.
To be a Christian means to be more Christ-like. It's like, well, your actions don't really look it. Oh, I am.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And again, too, when I say this has been a spiritual journey for me, because I had to wrap my head around the people, certain people, you are the ones that were supposed to be there for me and have my back when I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to reach out to anymore. And you were the first ones to look at me and look down on me. And you want to call yourself a Christian? Really? I mean, what does that even mean to you?
Oh,
that behavior.
Oh, exactly. It was like, I get it on a personal level because kids go to Catholic school. They still do. My oldest is a senior and my youngest is a sophomore. But when I got divorced, most of those people came straight to judgment, started talking down to me, making me feel unwelcome, telling me that I'm a deadbeat father. I guess Jesus paid for the Catholic school tuition. And it was like, wow, shouldn't they judge me based on how I treat them? Not my relationship with my ex-wife compared to, but it always gives people fuel because people always want to grasp at something that'll make them feel better.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I do speaking engagements and I can see and read the crowd. And I've been at a Catholic school where I can see the eyes rolling. It's like, I'm telling you about my basically near-death experience. Like, I don't even know how I got out of where I got. And you're rolling your eyes at me? What? I don't understand.
Yeah, there's only one person that walks on water. And it's not any of these people that judge. So, you know. No, Jessica, how did you finally kick it? Like, was it that got you to finally overcome these demons, this addiction?
Well, took a long time because my problem was I had physical health issues. And every time I went into the hospital, they put me on pain medication. So it kind of started the whole cycle over again.
Cycle over and over again.
Because I was doing like outpatient programs. And mind you, I'm homeless. So I'm trying to go to doctor's appointments. Sometimes I'm in emergency. I'm trying to do outpatient. So I finally, and I think this was a gift from God or whoever you want to call someone outside of anybody that I reached out to. It was out of my control. I have a phone number. I call it. It is, I don't even know where I got the number from. It is a inpatient facility. And I'm in Southern California and I'm in an inpatient program. And it was a dual diagnosis, meaning I was there under lock and key and getting treatment for not only mental health, but also for addiction. And I have somebody that is helping me get back and forth to doctor's office appointments and picking me up at the hospital. I mean, there was times that I had to be released from the program because I was in the hospital. And so they, you know, I couldn't be in two places at one time. So then they had to have me in the hospital. And then when I got released there, the treatment center would pick me up again and bring me to that facility. So this is, yeah, I mean, I've done so much treatment. I mean, what was the last thing? What was the thing that helped me? It was all of it. I needed all of it. I mean, I was done. I had nothing left in me. I mean, one of the times that I had was picked up by an ambulance while I was in treatment, I'm in the hospital and I'm throwing up sludge. And that time around, I had pancreatitis. And then I'm back on pills again, and then back in treatment. And it was just, it was a lot. I was all over the place. So to answer that question, I don't know. I needed it all because I needed to get healthy mind, body, and soul.
Okay. So then it's not like in the movies, Hollywood, where, you know, person's just like has the shakes for a day, gets completely clean, and lives happily ever after.
No, I had the shakes. I was throwing up, and then I was in the hospital. And then I was back on pain pills. And then I'd go back and I'd get sick and I'd throw up and then I'd be in treatment. And then had two other mental health hospital stays. Was years of this. I could not get out of the cycle. I was either in an ER, in the hospital, at a doctor's office, in treatment for addiction, mental health hospitals. I mean, it was nonstop.
Now, did your immediate family ever come around, or were they just, they ghosted you, they judged you, and they just washed their hands?
Well, my ex-husband had pretty much painted a picture that I was lying, that I had made this all up, that I had abandoned my children. It was ugly. At that time, I didn't have anyone.
Is your relationship better now with them?
Yes. I mean, I have a great relationship with my mom, but she's German. She lives in Germany. So it's not like she came while I was going through that, you know, every 6 months to help him with the girls. But, you know, when I was in treatment, I was in Southern California. So she was Northern California with the girls. But yeah, I mean, my relationships with them will never be what they were. But that's also my choice. I've done so much work on myself that I'm very particular on who's in my life, who's not. If we're not on the same page, that, you know, I fought for my life. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to sit around and talk small because I'm no longer there anymore. If you want to, good for you, but I don't want any part of it.
Now, when did you realize that you had a powerful message and that you could help others and you can help coach others through all of this?
Well, I'd say there's two different things. So one, I know when I was going through it, I didn't think I would make it. I mean, I was rocking at night, begging God for help because I could not understand the pain. I'd never felt so much pain in my entire life, but starting to see a little bit of hope, I knew, okay, I guess I have a mission because you don't come out of that kind of pain okay. You just don't come out of that without being able to do something with it. So I knew. And as soon as I had come back from Southern California, I got a job working for the county. And then I got right into, and I don't even know how I did this, but it's called Stop Stigma Sacramento. And I knew I had to be a speaker for them. And I went, you know, wrote out my speech and I went and I cried and I couldn't get through it. And then I went again and I went and I went and I went and I went over and over and over and I bawled my eyes out and I could never make it through it because it talked about me, you know, being told that you're a bad person, you're a piece of crap, you abandon your children. If I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to tell the whole story, all the painful, all the ugly, everything. So trying to tell that story, it took me forever, but that was part of my therapy as well. Like that day was going to come where I was going to get through it. And I did. And then I could relay that message and give it to others. And I've seen it in people's faces that, okay, I understand addiction a little bit better. Oh, I understand my daughter a little bit better. Oh, I understand mental health a little bit better. Right? Mm-hmm. Like not worrying about like, what are you going to think about me? but worrying about, I hope I do a good job and present the truth so you can trust in me to hear what I'm saying, that it could be anybody, right? And maybe it's you. Maybe you need to check in on yourself. Like, how are you really feeling? How are you living your life? How are you presenting yourself on a daily basis? And then, so that was one thing. And then working for the county, I think it really hit me when COVID hit. And, you know, we were sent home and I was like, okay, great. I have a job now. And my bosses, you know, a few weeks in, says, we're going to start doing Zooms and I want you women's empowerment. I said, fabulous. What do you want me to do? And she goes, no, it's all you. You create it. I trust in you 100%. And she, you know, allowed me to create it. And it started from nothing to people just showing up to listen to people that would never in a million years even show up, started participating, started questioning themselves and started to heal and love themselves. And they didn't even know that they didn't, right? Mm-hmm. So that's huge. It's human beings having conversations with other human beings. Imagine that, and being open and honest and helping one another. Isn't that a crazy idea?
You know, what also shows, though, there's no such thing as randomness. Everything has its purpose. Everything happens for a reason. Think about it. You said you tried to tell your story. You cried. You didn't do it. You had chance after chance after chance again, because God knows you have a powerful voice. God knows you have a powerful message. God knows there's plenty of people out there that need help, that need someone to be there for them, that to hear your story and go, I'm not the only person that's going through this. Because a lot of times people do have that stigma that, you know, maybe I am selfish. Maybe I am inconsiderate. Maybe this is just all me, and it's not.
And I think, and this is like something huge that I, you know, coach people on, is we have to change our mindset, right? But you have to be aware of how you're even thinking in order to do so. But it's learning to love yourself and take accountability for yourself and your actions. It's okay that you've made mistakes. Let's think about where you begin, where you start from. Let's talk about all of that. Like, what has created the person that you are here and now? Should we maybe love ourselves a little bit to say, okay, I made those mistakes, I've learned, and maybe it makes sense on why I made them to begin with, but I can learn and I can change that, right? It's that, and I could tell you some really ugly stories of family and friends going after people that were on drugs and calling them names and then beating them down. And they're no longer here anymore because of that, right? So if somebody else isn't coming at you, you're coming at yourself. You don't want to be in that position. And that's where like the self-love comes in and goes, you know what? I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to nurture myself and see why I got into this mess to begin with. And it's okay. And you can learn and grow and be so much more than that.
Not only that, but, you know, we are our own worst enemy.
We beat ourselves
like in that movie, you know, Mommy Dearest, no more wire hangers. It's true. I mean, that's why you said, not only why do people feel the need to pile onto people when we're already beating ourselves up?
Right.
I mean, why do that? You know?
Well, and that's all learned, right? That's all learned. That's the way we've done things. That's the way we continue to do things because we don't question it. People aren't aware that we are working off of our subconscious, and our subconscious is autopilot. We're not even aware that we're working on autopilot. That's why we can't make changes, because we don't even realize where we are. I mean, you have to understand, like, you're not in control. You can say one thing, but your subconscious, made of all of the years in your life, is running the show,
mm-hmm.
right? It's somebody else's opinion. It's the TV show. It's the scrolling. It's all of it. Some people don't even know why they hate another person or why they're racist. It's just, it's learned behavior.
everything's learned behavior. That all our limiting beliefs, all our hangups really stem from our childhood.
Yep. Yep.
And yeah, that's something that we have to revisit. And we have our limiting beliefs and all those demons and everything, they're always there. You just have to be aware, and then you have to just tell it to shut up. Your voice, yes, your awareness has to be louder, has to drown out all those negative thoughts, all those beliefs, yes, all that stigma, all the perceived notions that are already inside us because our parents or our friends said such and such group, or these people, don't talk to them. These people are bad. You know, it's none of us. We're probably the only species out there that when we come into this world, it's with a completely blank slate. And yeah, that's why, like, mind, body, spirit, we need to quit poisoning ourselves, not just with pills, not just with processed food, but just our thoughts, just the things we read, just the things we watch, just the things that we accept as the norm.
Right. And I think that's the trick too, because so many people are so stuck in, I know the difference between right and wrong. I know what I'm talking about because I am whatever society says is success, and right? So if you fit into these boxes, then you're okay. It's like, no, you're exactly the person that needs to question your actions in comparison to what you're saying you're doing. Because more so than not, you're not walking the talk. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. We can learn.
Every day I wake up just saying I want to be a better version of who I was yesterday. Yeah. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
It's just like happiness. Yeah. It's a choice. And it's in abundance. We can't be chasing it with a pill, with a needle, buying things, seeking happiness from others. You just wake up every day and go, hey, I'm human. I love myself. I deserve happiness. And I am happy. Took me a while, though. I'm a slow learner, though.
I mean, it took me a while, but I also realized that once I started to feel it and see it, and that just, you know, kept me going. I mean, I went from a place that was, I said spiritual warfare before, agonizing devil on my shoulder, laughing at me continuously saying, you are a worthless piece of crap. Look what you did to your family. Look what you did to your daughters. You're a piece of garbage, over and over and over. You know, I finally started sticky notes all over my wall, you know, the opposite of what I was hearing in my head. So I would see it when I went to bed, and I would see it first thing that I woke up in the morning. And I had to like unlearn that old crap and learn the new. And it has moved mountains. When you're aware of the way you're talking to yourself, it moves mountains. You become who you were meant to be.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's why I tell people we weren't, on a spiritual level, if we were made in God's image, he didn't want us to suffer and to barely get by. He wanted us to thrive. He wanted us to love and live our best lives. And that's what it is. And enough of the cop out. You'll hear, oh, my treasures await me in heaven. Why not now? Why not enjoy every single day? Because every single day is literally a gift, because you and I, we both know plenty of people that we're never given another day.
Yep.
Now,
very true.
Talk to me about your practice, and also talk to me about how do we find you, to hire you, to become this life coach, to become this coach that helps us get past this addiction.
So, that's a good question. My Facebook, and I could give you that information. Well, with the link to that. And that's the best way, really, because I'm very particular on the things that I'm working on. I don't want to be all over the place trying to do 50 million things. So, I mean, LinkedIn and Facebook, I would say, are the two places. And like I said, I'll give you that information. That'd be fabulous.
For sure. It'll be posted everywhere. You know, you and I are going to promote. That's the most important thing. When it comes to everything, marketing and promoting and consistency, you wake up every day saying you're alive and you're blessed and you love yourself. And look at that. You do it on a consistent basis. You don't do it on, you know, leap year or only on
right.
days sunny or right. only on days you feel it. Sometimes you have to, we're stubborn people. You have to push yourselves out the door and go, you are a rock star. You are worthy.
Right. And the consistency, I mean, it's huge. If I wouldn't have stayed consistent in the picture, right? And mm-hmm. knowing without a doubt, once you make that jump, that leap of faith, and you believe in that, you're just always going over it and grateful because you know that you've made that next step and that next step and that next step. So if you've done all those, why is there any hindrance to the next step? There's not, right? Because you stay consistent in the steps that you started, you know, step one, that small little baby step of my example, sticky notes, and maybe one day getting out of bed, okay, pulling the covers over my head the next, let's try it again, right? You just start.
The problem with so many people though, Jessica, is they want instant gratification. They want instant results. We beat ourselves up, but yet we don't understand that it's a process.
Right.
Everything that you're describing is in anything that you can choose from. Somebody that loses that needs to lose 100 pounds, I'm sorry, it's going to take time, but you have to start with a simple step of believing and doing consistent work. I mean, I ran marathons a million years ago. How? I didn't wake up one day running 26.2 miles.
Yeah.
You have to want it. You have to believe in it. And you have to train. You have to do a little more every single day.
Right.
If you've been addicted for years, it's not like, you know, it's that easy that you just wake up and go, oh, you know what? I think today is a good day to just stop and be my happy self. And, you know, rainbows come out, unicorns come out, you know, happily ever after, roll credits. If life was only that simple, right?
Right. I think what I have found is it's not just you want to lose some weight. It's not just this problem. It is a whole inside job. Once you decide on I'm going to be my higher, better version of self, then you take a look at you, the whole you, right? Because it's not just you want to lose some weight and you want to do it now. It's your whole being. How did you get there in the first place? Are you healthy, mind, body, and spirit, right? So you lose a couple pounds and then what, right? How come you couldn't keep it off before, right? It's a whole inside job on why we get to the places that we get to.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I can talk to you for hours and hours, but you know, we live in an Instagram reel society, TikTok society, where, you know, we want instantaneous and we want that dopamine now.
Yeah. Yep.
So here's my final question to you.
Later.
What do you tell the person that feels defeated, that hasn't stopped, that is in despair, that just has no hope left? Jessica, what words do you want to tell that person?
Ooh, that makes me emotional. That makes me really emotional, actually. Oh, because I believe with all my heart that we all have a reason why we're here and we all have purpose, and life has happened to us, sometimes without our consent, right? Coming at us from all different directions. So it's okay and it's understandable that you feel defeated, but it's not your fault. And you have every right and you're precious. And you can come out of all of it because it's your right. When you decide, like, okay, this doesn't make sense to me. I believe all those negative things. This is where it gets tricky because you have to trick yourself. Even though I don't believe it right now, I'm just going to take a step out of the unknown. I'm going to get a little uncomfortable. I'm going to check out this bullshit, right? Because a lot of people, that's what we've got going on in our heads. We're going to talk ourselves out of it because we've been programmed that way. So you just have to go, okay, fine. I'm just going to check it out. Let's see what this stupid stuff is, right? And then you get to learn a little bit about yourself. And once you see that little glimmer, you'll want some more. And then you'll want some more. And then you'll love who you're becoming. because that's who you've been all along. You are who you are. You got to remove the crap, and it's okay. And you can do it, and you deserve it.
Wow. Powerful message. Powerful episode. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
You are love. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being strong. And thank you for having a voice. And thank you for wanting to help people overcome. Because that's all it is overcoming. And it's an obstacle. That addiction does not define anybody. The only thing that defines us is what we say we are.
Yep.
Thank you.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Alrighty, sweetie. Every day I'm thinking like, what if it did work? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine, what if it did work?